name. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Jesus. I wonder what we'd do if we really believed that. I wonder what we'd do if we could actually see Him here. Hallelujah. Amen. And His presence is in this place. Amen. Well, anybody feel blessed today? Amen. Let's sing that chorus that said, I'm blessed. Every day that I live, I'm blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed.
When I wake up in the morning,
when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. Yes, I am. I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Stand with me and sing it. I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Oh, every day that I live, I am blessed. And
when I wake up in the morning,
when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Yes, I
am.
Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, God, for every blessing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Psalm 1, verse 1. Amen. Good to see you. God bless you. Brother Burton, good to see you here today. Amen. Thank you for coming, brother and sister. There you go, Latimer. Been too long, brother. Amen. I'm glad y'all are here. Always good to have you with us. Thank you. Praise the Lord. And all of our friends, Sister Andrea, good to see you here today. Amen. We have great, great memories, Sister Richardson. Great blessing to this church. Amen. And it's good to see everybody. Glad you're here. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers here today. Thank you. Hope you have a really, really blessed day. Amen. All right, it said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. This is Father's Day. I want to preach to everybody, but I especially want to speak to fathers today. I think we have here a very important recipe, if you will, for being blessed. And so I would like to preach today about being a blessed man. being a blessed man. Now, to be a blessed man is far more important than being a successful man or being a wealthy man. Amen. The word blessed is a word that we don't use as much today in our society as they did in ancient times. But the word blessed in some translations, as a matter of fact, several translations, it simply means, it talks about the happy man. You know, the Beatitudes in the New Testament, when Jesus said, blessed is the man that. Amen. The word there means happy. How many like to be happy? You want to be a happy person? Amen. I read one time, and I'm convinced that happiness is a choice. We're really as happy as we choose to be. If you want to be happy, you can be happy. Amen. Well, Brother Grissom, you're on my circumstances. Don't. Amen. That has nothing to do whether you're happy or not. You can be happy in good times. And you can be happy in bad times. If you just choose, I'm going to just go ahead and be happy. Amen. I know people that got everything going right and they're still unhappy. Amen. My brother used to tell me, you'd gripe if you was getting hung with a new rope. I think he's right. Amen. What difference would that make? Still getting hung. Amen. But happiness is a choice. You make up your mind whether you want to be happy or not. It's also a habit. Did you know if you wake up grumpy every morning, it's a habit? Or you can wake up happy every morning. It's your choice. Amen, Brother Grissom. You're just up there just telling the truth today. Amen. It's a choice. You just make a decision how you want to be. Amen. And that's how you're going to be. Amen. And so the Bible tells us how to be happy. And that it's just here very simple. The word to be happy, it means to be content. It's good to be content in life. I like being content. Amen. Now, I don't really know anything I need. I just know a few things I'd like to have. Some wants, but I'm just really pretty content. Thing to be content with life. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't want another wife. I like the one I got. Amen. I know people not content with their wife. I like mine. Love mine. Amen. Been together now real close to 39 years. And you know, we're wore in, wore out, whatever. Amen. And it's a good thing to have somebody you're content with. Praise the Lord. And I like my daughter. I don't want to trade her off. Man, got a good one. Amen. That's a blessing, isn't it? Be content. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just be content with what you have. Hallelujah. Amen. And so contentment's important. And then it means abounding. Amen. Abounding. Things are coming your way. Good things coming your way. And it also means enjoying God's favor. That's part of being a blessed man, is enjoying God's favor. Hallelujah. If I know that God's happy with me, I can endure anything. That's right. I can put up with a lot if I just know God's happy with me. Amen. And so it's a lot better to enjoy the favor of God than it is the favor of men. I don't know if you've noticed this, but people are real fickle. Amen. You remember when Paul was on that island, he and they had a shipwreck, and he wound up on the island, and they come out of the sea, and I guess people had some kind of idea that there were gods coming out of the sea, and then so they got ready to worship them. And a couple of verses later, they were ready to stone them. The way life is, one minute they'll worship you, and the next minute they want to kill you. Fickle. Up and down, and up and down, and up and down. You know, it's like people have a flavor of the week. And there's some people, you're just their best friend until somebody else comes along. Whoever they're with at the moment, that's their very best friend. Amen. Anybody ever had that experience? Amen. It's interesting, isn't it? Life's like that. People are fickle. But the favor of God is a sure thing. If God loves today, He's going to love you every day. If you're in the favor of God, amen, He's going to love you when you're good, and He'll love you when you're bad. He's just going to love you. Amen. Never tell your children if you do that, Jesus won't love you, because you're lying if you say that. He loves you the same. Amen. His love is not attached to your behavior. He'll hate your behavior, but he'll love you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we find God's favor. That's a part of being blessed. Amen. To walk in God's favor. Hallelujah. Knowing that God is pleased with the way that I'm living my life. And that means a lot. He said there are some things to be a blessed man. There are some things that we must avoid. Notice, and he lists them right off here. He starts out, they're a little negative, but they're wise things. He said, blessed is the man that walketh in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. If we walk with somebody, we're going a certain direction, and it indicates we're in a certain fellowship. The prophet said, can two walk together except they be agreed? You see, we can't walk to Corsicana and Tyler at the same time. We got to make up our mind, because they're opposite directions. And if we're together, we got to decide where we're going. And you can't walk with God and walk with the world or walk with the ungodly at the same time. You got to make up your mind who you're going to walk with. And if you walk with God, you got to be in agreement with God. Amen. Jesus also said, or the John said, he said, what fellowship hath light with darkness? Amen. Hallelujah. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ constantly cleanses us from our sins. And so it's good to walk with God, walk with the Lord. He said, blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You see, if you walk in somebody's counsel, you're taking their advice. You've got to be careful who you listen to, and you've got to be careful what you take heed to. There's a whole lot of voices out there today, and then there's a lot of things being said. Amen. But you, and I'm going to tell you in just a minute how this happens, but you can obtain the spirit of wisdom. And when you receive the spirit of wisdom, you will recognize baloney when you hear it. And there's a lot of baloney out there. Amen. But thank God for a spirit of wisdom that will cause you to stand upright and walk the right direction. And say, you go ahead and walk on, bud. I think I'll wait and just walk with the Lord here. Amen. So you got to be careful which way you're walking. Did you notice he's talking about walking here? Now look at the next verse. The next verse, or the next thing he says, are he that sitteth in the, or he that, just a minute, he that standeth with sinners. See, start out, there's a digression here. We start out walking, and then all of a sudden he finds himself standing. That's a digression. He's no longer making progress. Now he stands. He slowed down. He stops. And so he finds himself in the standing, it said, with sinners. When you stand with somebody, you are in agreement with them. So I'm going to stand with so-and-so. I'm going to stand by this. That it's a position of agreement that we have taken on. He said the blessed man will not stand with the ungodly or with sinners. He's not going to stand that way. That's not his direction. He's not in agreement with that. Amen. There are people today that they think that if you can get enough people standing for something, that that's what's right. You can change people's opinions, and you can change God's law, and you can change the nation's laws if you can just get enough people to stand with what you think is right. And we see that right now, don't we? There are people in our nation that want unrighteousness to become righteousness. They want what's wrong to become right, and they think that if they can get enough people to stand with them, then they'll be able to do that. And as far as the laws of the nation, they can. But you can never make unrighteousness righteousness. No more than you can ever make darkness become light. You just cannot. It's, if it was wrong, it's still wrong, no matter how many people stand for it. No matter how many people agree with it. Amen. And so that's the ungodly. He said, blessed is the man that doesn't stand for the wrong, stands for the right. And then he talks about those that sit in the company of the scornful. Sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You see, he started out walking, and then he started standing, and now he's sitting. He's parked. It's a place of permanence. It's a fixation. And it's interesting what happens to people that are wrong. After a while, they become scornful. And they become mockers of others. And mocking serves no good purpose. It's just a spirit of ridicule. It only tears down. It does nothing to build up. You ever heard of constructive criticism? I'm not real crazy about any kind of criticism, just being real honest here. I've heard people say, well, I don't really mind constructive criticism. Well, I think you probably do. Amen. I've got a better word for it. How about instruction? The Bible doesn't use the word constructive criticism. It uses the word instruction. You don't really have to criticize somebody. You can just go ahead and show them and tell them what's right. And you don't have to criticize anybody to do that. Could I say, in our witness, we need to be very careful about constructive criticism? You don't have to tear down what somebody believes to tell them the truth. Isn't that right? You can just go ahead and tell them the truth. You don't have to sit there and tear down what they believe. But you can just go ahead and add to what they already know. The Bible says that Aquila and Priscilla, they showed Apollos the way more clearly, more perfectly. They added to his knowledge. They didn't try to take away from what he had. They just said, hey, how about this? Amen. Let me show you this. Praise the Lord. You could add to. That's called instruction. And so he said, we don't sit in the seat of the scornful. God help us as Christians not to get a scornful attitude. Wow. Can that happen to people? It can. You can get to the place where you tear people down before you try to build them up. And if you tear them down, they're not going to hang around long enough for you to build them up. You don't need to tear down how people dress. Huh? You just need to start instructing. Amen. Don't tell them what they look like. You don't have to describe them. Get uncomfortable soon enough, believe me. Anybody know what I'm talking about here today? I don't know if you can remember, maybe it's been a long time, but if you ever came into the presence of God and you were not clothed right, something told you you were not clothed right. Amen. If you ever wore a dress that was too short for church, you knew that without the pastor even having to tell you. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you did. The Holy Ghost told you. Am I right or am I right? Amen. See, but we don't have to be scornful. We don't have to tell people what a shame it is. They already know that. The Holy Ghost identifies and begins to talk to them and deal with them. And they already know. They know what's wrong. They just need to know what's right. And our job is to instruct them in righteousness. So you don't have to tear them down. Build them up. Amen. I'm talking about being a blessed man here today. Hallelujah. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. That's right. Amen. Praise God. You know what I find interesting in the scripture about Jesus Christ? That sinners were drawn to him. They liked him. You know, that's not true of many Christians, is it? That's not our reputation in the world today, is it? Amen. Our reputation in the world is not that sinners love us, but they criticize us because we're critical and we're judgmental. Where did that come from? Probably because in the past they ran into somebody that was critical and judgmental. That's probably how they arrived at that. Now, I'm not saying that you approve of people's sin. You don't have to approve. Amen. But neither do you have to blast them and scorn them and mock them. When you do that, you will build a wall between you and that individual, and you'll not be able to win them. Our goal is to win the lost. Is that true? Amen. We're here to win the lost, aren't we? Amen. We're here to win the lost. Praise God. That's our job. Now, also understand this. I understand this. That people that do not want to change, they have been convicted of their sin, and they refuse to change, that's when they become mockers and scoffers. And you can't win people like that. Once a person has been convicted and convinced by the Holy Ghost and have scorned the Holy Ghost, if they'll scorn God, they'll sure scorn you. And we are seeing much of that in this age, in this generation. The Bible speaks of a time when God will rain judgment on the earth, and men know that God is raining judgment on the earth. And rather than repent, they'll curse him and shake their fist at God. That's hard for us to imagine, but it's in your Bible. That's how hard the human spirit and the human heart can become toward God when we scorn him and his word. And so we've got to be careful. We don't want to sit there, do we? You don't want to sit and see the scornful. That's not a good place to be sitting. You can't be a blessed man and sit there. You can't sit in the seat of the scornful. You can't stand with sinners, and you can't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Not and be blessed. If you want to be a blessed man, let me tell you how to do that. He tells us very plainly how we can be blessed. And he makes it very, very plain. He said, first of all, he said, you've got to delight in the law. Let's say delight. Delight in the law of the Lord. It's got to be something that you get excited about. Amen. One philosopher said, he said, I'm happiest when I'm in a nook with the book. Amen. In other words, I'm shut out and shut in with the Word of God, having a good time just communing with the Lord. So when you delight in the Word of the Lord, you don't argue about it. Amen. You delight in it. Hallelujah. And you agree with it. And you enjoy it. And then he said, not only do I delight in the law of the Lord, he said, I meditate. You don't just read it, but you think about it. You know, the Bible's not the kind of book that you read for pleasure. Just, oh, I think I'll just read the book of Genesis today. I think I'll just run through the Bhagavad Gita. It's not that kind of reading. You don't read it for pleasure. It's not a pleasure book. It's a life instruction book. So you read the Word of the Lord, and you get instruction and you get wisdom from the Word of God. When I talked a few moments about getting a spirit of wisdom, it comes from the Word of God. When you read it and you delight in it and you meditate on it and you think about what it said. And the Bible's not easy to read, and there's a purpose for that. It's not Ned's first reader. It's not Cat in the Hat kind of stuff. Green eggs and ham. Amen. You want Dr. Seuss? Get Dr. Seuss. You want shallow? Get Dr. Seuss. Amen. You want depth? You want wisdom? Amen. You want life? You want righteousness? Amen. Read the Bible. You want something that'll build your life on? Something that'll be here when the world passes away? Amen. Discipline yourself. Let me say that again. That's a scary word from some people. Discipline yourself to read the Word of God. It requires that, doesn't it? Amen. Have you ever noticed it's to read the sports page if you're a sports fan? It's easy to read something else, but it's not always easy to read the Bible. Amen. First of all, the devil don't want you reading the Bible. And he's going to fight you tooth and toenail to keep you out of the Bible. Amen. But once you get into it, and you start reading it, and then you start meditating on it, and you ruminate, and you think about it, and you contemplate, amen, and you meditate on the Word of the Lord, it sinks down into your consciousness. And you start acting out of wisdom. That's how you get wise, as you read the Word of God. And you meditate on the Word of God. And you even listen to the Word of God. And you agree with the Word of God. That's what, when we say amen, that's what we're saying. I agree, brother. That's what we're saying when we say amen. I stand in agreement with what you're saying. So, you want to be a blessed man? Get the Word of God. Delight in it. Meditate in it. The benefits, number one, he said he shall be planted like a tree by rivers of waters. Somebody say planted. Amen. You know, if you've got a tree, it's probably because you planted it. If you're going to have a good tree, plant that buddy. And it's a process. It's planted. It's positioned. It's cultivated and it's stable. A tree that's well fed and well cultivated is strong. It's not easily uprooted. It's going to be there. The Bible said it produces fruit in his season. Now notice that life has seasons. Life has seasons. There are rewards to getting old sometimes. If you apply yourself to wisdom, there are some advantages to getting old. Amen. Yes, the physical's not so great. Amen. But I don't do near as much stupid stuff as I did when I was young. I still do stupid things, but not as bad. Not as often. Amen. I've learned some lessons by now. I've learned certain things that you... Oh, some of the stuff we did. Amen. But you learn that's not wise to do that. There are consequences to that. Amen. Thank God for that. We learn. And so the Bible says that we produce fruit in our season. It takes time. And life has seasons to it. And you're young. When you're young, thank God for young people. I love young people. I like their enthusiasm. Young people believe they can do stuff. Amen. And they do. And that's good. Sometimes it's hard to motivate old folks. Amen. But that won't work. Well, just try it and see. It might. Amen. Don't tell them they can't do it. Let them try. Help them, for goodness sakes. Give them not...
I don't want any.
What is it? What kind of criticism is that? Yeah, there you go. Construct. Don't construct no criticism. Just instruct them. Amen. Amen. Who knows, your eyes might get open. You might get excited too. Amen. You hang around young people, it helps you to think like that. You know, maybe we can do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that way when I was a kid, well, yeah, you know, we didn't either when we rode dinosaurs. Amen. But things are different now. Things that didn't work then work now. You know what? I got to quit here. Goodness gracious. But when we were in a place and I was pastor and then, man, we tried everything. I tried everything. You know, we tried street services. And the police came and tried to shut us down. It was right out in front of my house. And we lived upstairs, and the police said, that guy up there upstairs is complaining. I said, well, that's me. I live up there. He said, well, shut it down anyway. So we tried street service. It didn't work. And then there was another guy who said, hey, brother, I'd like to do some street services. I didn't say, oh, brother, we tried that one. I said, go for it. Have them. And you know what? He started doing street services. People got the Holy Ghost on the street. People got healed on the street. People come to church from the street. I couldn't do it. He could do it. Amen. Another brother said, I want to do jail services. I didn't say, well, we'd already tried that. That won't work. I said, well, go for it. You know what? People started getting the Holy Ghost in the jail. As a matter of fact, they had this brilliant idea. They said, Pastor, we want to have revival in the jail. All week. They got permission to do it. And the first night to preach the first night, him and I did. We got there and there were a couple of people from another church. And they said, oh, we're having service now. I said, that's fine. Y'all go ahead. When you get through, we'll have service. And then they said, well, you know, since you say that, we'll just sit here. Amen. And one of them got the Holy Ghost. And in that week of services, several more got the Holy Ghost. And the last, and that didn't happen while we were there, but after we left on a Saturday night, believe it or not, they had a jail break. Amen. Several people escaped. But here's the beauty of it. The men in the jail said, you be sure and tell the pastor that none of us that were in the revival tried to get away. Now that's revival. When they had an opportunity to leave and they wouldn't, that tells me they got something.
Amen. Come on.
Amen. And the cream on the crop, I was in the study one day, studying the church, and the sheriff came by and he said, can I go pray in your auditorium? I said, there it is, pray away. He prayed a little bit and he came in and he said, would you baptize me in Jesus' name? Woo! Yeah. Amen. Hey, don't tell somebody they can something. If God puts it on their heart, let them do it. More than that, go help them. I wasn't doing the street services, but you know what? I showed up. I didn't preach all the jail services, but you know what? I showed up. Amen. I supported. I said, amen. And I watched God do things that I couldn't do. I tried it. It wouldn't work for me, but it worked for them. Praise the Lord. But guess what? They didn't get to preach in the pulpit like I do. Everybody has a place. Everybody has a ministry. Get with it. Help. Amen. Praise the Lord. Woo, that's good. I'm talking about being a blessed man. Amen. Said he's planted. Everybody needs to get planted, don't they? Need to grow some roots. And when you grow some roots, you just can't pick up and leave any old time you feel like it. Amen. Some people get their feelings hurt and they're ready to go somewhere else. They don't have any roots. They're not planted. Amen. God didn't intend for people for his saints to grow wheels. He intended for you to grow roots. Hello? I said he didn't intend you to grow wheels. He intended you to grow some roots. Get planted. Be stable. Amen. And then he said he's going to grow his fruit in his season. I like this. And his leaf shall not wither. You know the first sign of sickness in a tree? It shows up in the leaves, doesn't it? That's the weakest part of the system. And when leaves begin, it tells you that the tree's not getting what it needs. But the leaves are strong and they're glossy and they're full of color. Then it tells you this is a healthy tree and it's getting what it needs. So he's saying his leaf, it means he's getting everything he needs. He's being nourished. And so his leaf doesn't wither. And he said, everybody say, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That happens if you're rooted and grounded in the Word of God. You remember that psalm, that verse from the psalm that says the Lord shall give you the desires of your heart? You remember that? You remember what it said before that? delight thyself in the Lord also, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. The second part is conditional upon the first part. If you delight yourself in the Lord, then he can give you the desires of your heart. But first, you've got to delight yourself in the Lord. Then your desires become his desires, and your will becomes his will, and God can graciously and righteously provide for you and bless you and give you what he put in your heart. Amen. I've heard people quote that. Just go down and order a new car. God wants to give me the desires of my heart, and I want a new Mercedes. Well, are you delighting yourself in the Lord? That's first, you know. And if he puts a Mercedes in your heart, he'll put one in your driveway. But if he don't, it'll be in the bank's parking lot with a repo sign on it. I knew a guy that actually did that. He was telling me all about it. Man, I tell you what, the Lord wanted to give me such and such and such and such. And, well, the car came in, he didn't have any money. Amen. So it wasn't God, was it? It was what he wanted. Amen. And lastly, the Bible says, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. But I say, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. What did Jesus say? He said, I am the way. So the way of the righteousness is the Lord. The way of the righteousness is the Lord. No wonder he knows your way. Because if you're walking in the way of righteousness, you're walking in the Lord. Amen. That's why Job could say, he said, I looked before me, I couldn't see behind me. I couldn't see him. I looked on the right, I saw he'd been working there, but I couldn't see the Lord. I looked to the left, and he wasn't there. He said, but he knows the way that I take. Amen. I don't know where in the world God is, but God knows exactly where I am. Amen. And he's going to work in your benefit. I want to be a blessed man. How about you? I may never be a wealthy person. I don't know that that's a good thing necessarily. I've known a few people that became wealthy. And I know it happens, but I've yet to meet one that stayed faithful to God. I knew three people that became instant millionaires. And before they were millionaires, they were faithful to God. But as soon as they became millionaires, their priorities changed. One of them actually sent us $100 to the church. Didn't bring it, they sent it. Before that, they were faithful to pay their tithes and give offerings. But once they became millionaires, suddenly they couldn't do that anymore. Isn't that interesting? Amen. Isn't that interesting? Amen. All of a sudden they've got much more, and they can't do any more. It was easy to serve the Lord with less, but hard to serve God with more. So wealth's not always the answer. For some, it works. But for most, it doesn't. I don't necessarily want to be a wealthy man. Amen. I just want to be a blessed man. How about you? And I kind of feel like I am. I feel blessed. Let's stand together. Amen. I feel happy in the Lord. Praise the Lord. I feel happy. Amen. And isn't that a good thing? Amen. I can drive by. If you get a big old house, you know, you get a 8,000 square foot house, and you know what? I'm going to be happy for you. Then I'm going to drive back to my $750 house, and I'm going to be just as happy when I get there. Amen. Praise the Lord, because I'm just going to be happy. Amen. And if you get a new car, I'm going to be real happy with you. Then I'm going to get into my 2000 Ford that spits and sputters a little bit, and I'm going to be happy as long as it'll get me home. Amen. You see? And if I get a new one, I want you to be happy for me too. I want you to say, he finally got rid of that 12-year-old pickup and got something that'll run. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's be blessed today. Just be blessed today. God wants you to be a blessed person. Delight yourself in his law. Meditate in it day and night. Amen. This is where wisdom and this is where happiness comes from. This is where contentment is born in the word of the Lord. Put it in your heart. Put it in your life. It'll give you a foundation that will be steadfast, unmovable, unshakable. It's the one thing the Bible said, heaven and earth shall pass away. He said, but my word shall not pass away. It's going to stand when the world's on fire. The word of God is going to stand steadfast. Be blessed today. Amen. With the word of the Lord. Thank you so very much for your time, your attention. Amen. Remember, the bus is going to leave at 1:20, headed to Canton. If you can come join us, please do. Amen. Brother Fry's going to be preaching today. And then tonight, we'll be right back here at 5:30 for prayer, 6 o'clock for service, and after church, brisket. Amen. All right. We got a good day ahead, don't we?